Today, we're in week two of a series we've begun. It's called Passionate, and it's about being passionate followers of Jesus. And we're really talking out of the scripture where Jesus, in Matthew chapter 22 and other verses, when the Pharisees said to Jesus, or the teachers, what's the greatest commandment? What's the thing that we should do the most? And Jesus replied in verse 37 of Matthew 22, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. All of the Ten Commandments are summed up in that. And then he goes on, and equally, a second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. And so what we're focusing on, particularly in this series that we're doing right now, is that one verse, we should love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. And so God wants us to be passionately in love with Him, passionately worshiping, passionately waiting to be in His presence, passionately wanting to get into His Word, passionate about God's people. It's an expression of our heart. And I want to particularly just focus on that one thing this morning, on our heart and the condition of our heart. Because if our heart is not in good condition, it's going to stop us loving God passionately. If our heart's not in good condition, it's also going to help us stop loving our neighbor passionately. And so let's talk about the heart. Turn to your neighbor and say, come on, let's talk about your heart. You know you need this today. Proverbs 4 verse 23 says this, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it, your whole life. Another version says, guard your heart, for your heart, out of your heart flows the issues of your life. Well, now, if you've got some issues, they're probably flowing out of your heart. Very often, they're not that person at work. It's actually our heart. Very often, it's not our circumstances. It's what's flowing out of our heart. Another version of that scripture says, guard your heart because it'll be the ceiling or the limitation of your life. 2 Corinthians tells us that now He establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. This is magnificent news. When you become a Christian, and maybe you're here today and you have not become a Christian. You've not begun a relationship with God. And today would be the greatest day for you to begin a relationship with God and ask God for forgiveness. And when that happens, you become what the Bible calls born again. We become one spirit with Christ. We become a brand new person. And to seal it, God sends His Holy Spirit to live in our heart. That tells me my heart's very important if that's where the Holy Spirit dwells. I need to keep my heart clean to keep pure and right with the Holy Spirit. So transformation first begins when we are born again and we grow spiritually. We grow through the prayer, we grow through the Word of God, we grow through fellowship, we grow through fasting. There's a range of things we do. And spiritually we become strong. But transformation flows over from our spirit by the Holy Spirit into our heart, and then into our mind gets renewed. But particularly our heart. That's why it said about Jesus, His job description, Isaiah 61. He said, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you and you'll preach good news and then you'll heal up the brokenhearted. Good news is salvation, then comes healing for the brokenhearted. Now, one of the greatest blockages for you and I loving God passionately is a condition of our heart. And I believe one of the greatest blockages that affects, poisons our heart is unforgiveness. And so I want to talk a bit around unforgiveness today. And before you go, oh, that's not me, I just want you to open up your mind and heart today for all of us. I feel like when we fast, there's a sense that we're opening ourselves up to God to do a deeper work in our lives. That's part of humility. That's part of saying, God, you can have every part. Search me and know me. Know my ways. Point out anything in me that offends you. Now, all of us are going to have many moments in our lives where we feel mistreated or wronged or let down by somebody else. All of us are going to have those moments. It may well be other people. It may well be those close to us. It may well be friends. It may well be leaders. It may well be spouses. It may well be parents. Any variety of people. There's people, bosses, those in our world, they will, whether willfully or unintentionally, hurt us, mistreat us, wrong us, or disappoint us. But also, we can feel the same with God. There can be times in our life where we pray and we ask and we believe for God to do something, and we ask with as much faith as we can muster and as much passion and fervency, and then God doesn't answer the prayer, and sometimes we can end up feeling mistreated by God, wronged by God, or let down by God. Or sometimes it's ourselves. Sometimes we've done things in our lives. Sometimes we made a mistake. We blew it. We lost something important, and we blame ourselves for it, and we feel betrayed by ourselves or let down by ourselves. And so unforgiveness is something that applies to others, to God, and to ourselves. Now, sometimes, because if you've been a Christian for long enough, you'll know that unforgiveness is a no-go zone. So we kind of go, oh, I don't have unforgiveness. I'm not offended because I know that's bad. So let me give you some other words that might help you identify what really might be going on. Okay. I felt hurt by somebody. They hurt me. They caused me pain. I was disappointed by somebody. Disappointed in their reaction. Or if we're a little bit tougher in our heart and we don't have feelings, I'm just annoyed at them. I'm annoyed at that person. I'm annoyed at God. I'm annoyed at myself. And these words can all be a different person's response to being mistreated by somebody else. Maybe it's critical words that were spoken over us, directly or indirectly, gossip we've heard about behind our backs. Maybe someone didn't fulfill our expectations. We thought we were in a crisis. We thought they'd reach out. They didn't reach out. We're not offended. We're just annoyed. Can I just let you know that's the same box? Yeah. Someone was harsh towards us. I mean, in the worst case scenarios, overtly abusive towards us. Someone betrayed us. Someone made a decision that negatively affected you. They sacked you. They demoted you. Something happened and there was pain in that decision, rightly or wrongly. So what do we do when we're wounded? All of those things, if I put them in one category, I'm going to call them being wounded. Maybe it's being sinned against. Maybe it's being offended. If I put it in that, all of us, you cannot live on this planet Earth without experiencing multiple occasions of being wounded. So what do we do when we're wounded? Now, firstly, let me just put a caveat on this for though, if you're in an abusive situation where you're not safe, then the thing you need to do is get out of that place. So don't, this message is not just about forgiving somebody and putting up with abuse. If you're in an abusive situation and you're not safe, get out of that place. Tell somebody about it. Let the light in so that you can live safe and live healthy. Okay. I would say that to some people no, I'll leave that alone. So let's just do that. So the first step to emotional healing once we've been wounded is actually to be honest with ourselves. That hurt. Just to be honest with ourselves, not deny it, not just shake it off and I'm fine, but that hurt. And then we invite God into the pain, because the pain's in our heart. Even if our heart's super hard and we're rejecting the pain because we've been hurt so often that now we've got a hard heart, even so we say, God, I want you to come into my heart, Holy Spirit. That's where you live, and I want you to work in my heart. Then the next step, once God's involved, you make a decision to forgive. Forgive. Colossians 3 verse 13, make allowance for each other's faults. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. This is the mark of the Christian life. We've been given so much, forgiven so much by God, and now we pass that on. It's a decision that we make. Jesus on the cross, as he was being crucified, prayed a prayer saying, Lord, forgive them. So Jesus forgave them himself. Now he's praying blessing. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And they're killing him. They're torturing him in that moment. Jesus, the ultimate example, who was genuinely mistreated. Here's the thing. Sometimes the mistake we make is thinking, when the pain goes, then I'll forgive. When the emotional pain leaves my heart, or the, you know, I'm going to use it another word, the annoyance, the disappointment, when that's gone, then I'll forgive. But I want to let you into a key of your heart today. Is emotional healing does not begin until you make the choice to forgive. Forgiveness is the doorway to emotional healing. It's the place where it's now, do you have to feel all lovey about the person when you make the decision? No, you probably won't. Like 99% of the time you won't. You just make a decision. Father, I come before you in the name of Jesus. I thank you that you've forgiven me of my sin, and I choose on this day, write it down, to make the decision to forgive so-and-so for these things. Right? And I think it's a good idea to write it down, because then once you've forgiven, when you have feelings come up again another time of feeling betrayed or the pain that's the follow-up of it comes back, you can remind yourself, Lord, I forgave them on the 14th of July, 2024. And now I'm walking into the healing so that I'm not triggered by that anymore. I made a decision. I don't have to keep forgiving them. I've already forgiven them. It's just like a person who gets saved. I'm already saved. I don't have to keep putting my hand up. I might not feel saved, but I am saved because I made a decision. On this day, I responded to Christ. I forgave them. Now, that's the first thing. First myth is if I make the choice to forgive. Now, I wait for the feelings to go away. I'll get it right. If I wait for the feelings to go away, then I'll forgive. That's wrong. The other one is people often can separate themselves or withdraw from the person who hurt you. Just you could be a friend, and you just begin to withdraw. And the reason you're doing it is because you're minimizing the pain. And you're wanting to avoid it to happen again. But that doesn't mean you're healing. In fact, the aim of healing, ultimately, if the person is not a toxic, abusive person, the ultimate aim of healing is reconciliation to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, John Bevere writes a great book called The Bait of Satan. It's probably a top 10 read for every Christian, maybe every couple of years. And here's a quote from it, and it says, pride will keep you from admitting your true condition. Pride. So pride stops me from thinking I've got unforgiveness in my heart. Pride causes you to view yourself as a victim because you were treated unjustly. You hold back forgiveness. Though your heart's true condition is hidden from you, it's not hidden from God. So we're humbling ourselves through fasting. So let's let God reveal if there is actually unforgiveness in our heart. So forgiveness is a journey. I'm not going to talk much more about that so much today, except a little warning. When you're in the phase, when you've been initially wounded, and it's like your body, when you have an initial wound, it's not like it goes away straight away. The worse the wound, the longer it can take to heal. So when your heart gets wounded, it can take a while to heal. But what we need to do while we're healing is we need to invite the Holy Spirit in, as I've said. We need to make that choice to forgive as quickly as we possibly can. And then we need to invite wise counsel into our lives to help us go on the healing journey. The worst thing you can do when you're wounded is look for sympathizers. People who'll go, oh, poor you. Oh, I can't believe they did that to you. I've heard that they did that to somebody else as well. That's what always happens around this kind of organization, aka church, whatever it might be. That's what always happens in our workplace. That's what always happens with that family. And so if you're around a sympathizer going, poor you, poor you, poor you, you don't need sympathy. Come on, Melbourne. You don't need sympathy. What you need is some empathy. Mate, that must be painful. I understand. That's got to hurt. Let's invite the Holy Spirit into that pain. Let's make the choice to forgive that person. Let's not slip into the secret sister of the unforgiveness sin called making an ungodly judgment. So there's two sins that go hand in hand. One is unforgiveness. God calls unforgiveness sin. And it creates a blockage with us and him. But its secret sister is an ungodly judgment. Where you begin to make it, out of your pain, you begin to make a judgment. Oh, and you know what we do as Christians? We call it discernment. Oh, I'm discerning something's going on there. Now, it may well be, but the point of forgiveness is actually going, God, I'm not going to be the judge in this situation. You are the judge. I relinquish the judgment to you. Oh, phew, what a relief. I'm just going to work on forgiving and blessing them and loving them from my heart, but I need your help. And it's supernatural, and God's so into it if you let him into that journey. How are we doing today? All right, so if you want to know a bit more about ungodly judgments, 3 years ago, Pastor Mike Connell preached a great message here in our church about how making ungodly judgments gives the enemy right and access to your life. So you can find it on our Spotify or YouTube. Luke 6, verse 37 says, do not judge others and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others or it will all come back against you. Forgive others and you will be forgiven. Red letters, those ones, spoken by Jesus. Now, I want to just go a little further today and I want to help us understand the terrible consequences of living with unforgiveness. Okay, so it's not just sinful and a blockage from God and therefore unable to love him passionately, because that's a real thing. Unable to receive his love. It doesn't just affect our relationship with others because our heart gets a bit harder every time we don't forgive somebody. Our heart gets a bit harder. But I want to read a long passage and let us into a spiritual truth today that I believe is going to bring freedom to many. Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. And Peter came to Jesus and said, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? 7 times? As he's like going, oh, wouldn't I be amazing if I forgive them 7 times? And Jesus says, not 7, but 70 times 7. Basically to infinity and beyond, as the prophet Buzz Lightyear says. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his accounts up to date with servants who'd borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars and he couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owned to pay the debt. The man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me, I'll pay it all. Then his master was filled with pity for him and released him and forgave his debt. This is a picture of what God does for us when we come to Christ. All of our sins that separate us from God, he forgives us, he cleanses us. All of our external sins, internal sins, attitudinal sins, pride, all the stuff, God forgives us in a moment. That's the picture. Okay, next part of the verse. But when the man left the king, verse 28, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousand dollars. He grabbed him by his throat and demanded instant payment. His fellow servant fell down before him and begged for a little more time. Be patient with me and I will pay it, he pleaded. But his creditor wouldn't wait. He had the man arrested and put in prison until the debt could be paid in full. He didn't pay it forward. When some of the other servants saw this, they were very upset. They went to the king and told him everything that had happened. Then the king called in the man he had forgiven and said, you evil servant, I forgave you that tremendous debt because you pleaded with me. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you. Essentially, you've been forgiven much your whole life by God. Therefore, that we have no right to withhold passing mercy or forgiveness on. Does it mean what they did is acceptable? No. Does it mean that what they did shouldn't get justice, both at a criminal level and before God? No, it doesn't. It means that we release a person to God for their judgment and to the powers that be to bring justice into a person's life when they've crossed boundaries and betrayed and hurt people. But it means we make a decision in our heart to release forgiveness. Then the angry king, now this is what I want us to see today, sent the man to prison to be tortured until he had paid his entire debt. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. This is heavy. Unforgiveness is not a play pussycat to have fun with. It's a roaring lion. It might start out looking like a cute little kitty, but it turns into a massive lion. That one of the translations of verse 34 says the king handed them over to be tormented. Tortured, tormented. The picture of this, all right, get this right now. In Melbourne, Warren, you're back from holidays. Just let's get this together, all right? Here we go. Get this. I'm not pointing you out, Warren. I'm not saying you've got unforgiveness. Love you, mate. You're awesome. Let's just all get this principle together. This is essentially what God says. When we've got unforgiveness in our heart, when we've got it in our heart, then God gives access. He allows access to demonic spirits to torment us. God steps back and says, you haven't passed on the mercy that I passed on to you, and therefore, because of that blockage in your heart, the enemy now has legal right to torment you. Legal right. And so evil spirits, here's how evil spirits work. I think there's probably three major ways that evil spirits will work in our lives. Number one, they'll bring a physical attack on our body. Okay? Now, not every sickness is demonic, but many are. And if you've been, and sometimes I've been involved with people and they've been prayed for time and time again, and there's an anointing and there's a faith and there's something in the room to shift something, a spirit off a person, and it's not shifting. And you know why it's not shifting? Because unforgiveness in the heart gives the enemy an actual legal right to sit there. And he's just going, they let me in. I'm not going. They let me in. I've got a legal right. And they're just holding on. The Bible says don't give the enemy a foothold or a landing place, or I like to think of like a rock climbing wall. If you've given the enemy something to grip on into your life through sin, we can pray and pray until the cows come home. I'm a dairy farmer at heart from way, way back. We can keep praying, but there's a legal right around unforgiveness and ungodly judgments that have been made. That thing will not go. So that's one. Sometimes sickness. Now, not all sickness is, but some. I'm giving a key to someone today that unforgiveness is not just about punishing somebody else. It's actually about punishing yourself, blocking your wholehearted relationship with God, and giving the enemy legal access to torment you. The next kind of strategy of the enemy, so one will be physical. I've prayed for people. They've forgiven a parent, and I've seen them instantly healed the moment they've forgiven. It's like, oh, wow, the anointing was there, the power was there, God's intention was there. We just had to move the blockage and then healed. The next way, and the enemy, so physically, emotionally, and mentally is where the enemy has his greatest heyday in people's lives. So the next thing it will be in terms of mentally. So mentally, when the enemy starts to get into our world, it's our thought life. And we think it's us. We're unable to discern that what's going on with the bombardment of our mind. We just think it's us. Sometimes we just begin to think it's true. And so things can happen when unforgiveness, he's got access, and maybe he's not bombarding your body, but he's bombarding your mind. And so your mind starts just thinking terrible thoughts about yourself. And you start getting intimidated and rejected and all these thoughts, you're never going to make it. And ultimately a door can be opened to self-harm or to suicide and all sorts of other things which are not natural, but an evil spirit is bombarding or tormenting our minds. Maybe the bombardment is not about ourselves, but it's about everybody else, and a critical spirit. And it's not like we're necessarily possessed by a spirit. It's just like it's sitting on our shoulder. And suddenly, everything that somebody does, we're critical about it. And we just actually think it's real because we think, oh, we believe our thoughts. Can I make a suggestion today? Don't trust your thoughts. Trust the Holy Spirit, trust the Word of God, let Him renew our mind. But if our mindset, if we're finding ourselves super critical, then maybe we need to go back, because God's not super critical. He's not super judgmental, so we're out of whack. Maybe we need to go back and say, maybe I allowed access through unforgiveness into my heart for a spirit that is now making me critical about people and things and everything around me. Or maybe it's emotional. Maybe it's anxiety has taken hold of our lives. The Bible says that there's such a thing as a spirit of fear. Spirit of fear. And so suddenly we're just battling with anxiety and we're trying to get free. And possibly, I'm not saying this is the one and only cause of anxiety or rejection thoughts or critical thoughts, but maybe it is. I want us to get free so we can eliminate one access point in our lives. Turn the lights on so that we're not coming under something. If we're battling and we can't get free, maybe there's something in our past that we haven't dealt with in a godly way, and we're giving the enemy access and we can't break free. Maybe it's depression. The Bible calls it a spirit of heaviness. Same thing again. I'm putting some caveats out there. Not every case of depression relates to demonic oppression. But if it does, then the only way to fix it will be through getting free. These things are not to be confused with our emotional healing journey. See, grief's a real thing in our heart. And feeling low and feeling discouraged when you've been through something really tough and you have been hurt, feeling under that pain for a season while God brings healing into your heart, and you're doing it all with the Holy Spirit, don't confuse that with coming under a depression or a spirit of heaviness. Just to be clear. Then the king handed them over to the tormentors because they didn't forgive. That's what my heavenly Father will do if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from your heart. So let's not let pride stop us today. Sunshine Coast, Melbourne, those who are watching online, let's not let pride say, oh, I don't have that. I want us to close our eyes. Close our eyes in Melbourne. Close your eyes if you're watching online. Two things are about to happen, very powerful things. One, together, I'm going to ask in a moment if the Lord's revealing to you. And this is what revealing looks like. While I've been talking, you're just thinking of someone or multiple people, or maybe it's God that you haven't forgiven. Maybe it's yourself. And it'll be just, you'll be resonating with that and trying to fight it, trying to reason it away, but it'll just be sitting in your heart, I need to forgive somebody. Maybe you once said, I forgive you, but you haven't been praying blessing on them. You haven't invited the Holy Spirit in to help you. So in a moment, if that's you, Sunny Coast or Melbourne, while we're still streaming, I'm going to ask us to stand in our seats and say, yeah, God's revealed to me through some disappointment, through something that was annoying, through mistreatment, through genuine hurt. I have been hurt in my heart. And I haven't made the choice to forgive, or I haven't invited the Holy Spirit in to help me deal with the pain. That's the first step we're going to make. Then in a second step, I'll be handing back to Melbourne. But we're going to get our ministry team, Melbourne and Sunshine Coast, to come and stand out the front. Because I know for some people, the light's gone on. You've been tormented with something physical, with thoughts, or with emotions. And it's greater than normal life. You've been tormented. And today you want that to be broken off you. And we're going to pray with you and agree. First of all, you've got to close the door by forgiving. So I ask Holy Spirit right now that you would reveal to us where there's unforgiveness in our heart. Where we haven't invited you in to help us process and deal with the pain to be healed. Show us, Lord. Show us, Lord. And if that's you, God's speaking to you about someone, a person, or God himself through disappointment. You've stood back from him. Or yourself, you've been harsh on yourself, haven't forgiven yourself. If that's you, I just want you to stand up in your seat right now, Sunshine Coast and Melbourne, just stand up in your seat. So that's me. Come on. People are going to get free today. This is going to be so powerful. I know it's going to be so powerful. Lots of people standing up. Lots of people standing up. Come on, lots of people. Melbourne, I know there's people standing up right now. Don't fight it. The worst thing that could happen here is you just get absolutely cleansed and you're good. That's the worst thing that could happen. The worst thing that could happen is you go through a process and something you've already done just gets solidified in your heart. Lots of people standing up. Amazing. Amazing, amazing. Come on, I just feel like there's a few more. Don't miss out on this moment. All right, I want you to pray after me right now, everybody who's standing. I'm going to leave a little gap for you to say the names of people or God or yourself. But say these words after me. Dear God in heaven, I thank you that through Jesus, I've been forgiven and I'm cleansed. Thank you for your mercy. Because you've shown me mercy, I'm passing on mercy. So today, I choose to forgive. And then just say these quietly, the names of the people. I choose to forgive. I choose to forgive. 14th of July, 2024. I choose to forgive. I make a decision. To say these words, I choose to forgive them in the name of Jesus. I release them from my judgment into your hands. I will not judge them anymore. I invite the Holy Spirit to come into my heart to bring healing from the pain. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Now, you might not have felt anything like a salvation moment for some people. That's super powerful. I want us all to stand together. Melbourne, Sunshine Coast, all stand together. Might not have felt anything, but in the spirit realm, That was a legal moment. You legally passed on forgiveness, and now the devil legally has no right or access to your life because you've closed the door. So in a few moments, we're going to open the altar and we're going to pray for people. And if you're saying, you know what, after I did that, there are some of those things, my thoughts, my body, my feelings have been tormented, and I want to get free, and we're going to pray for you. And Melbourne, we're going to pray. So Melbourne, I want you right now, the ministry team in Melbourne to come to the front, the ministry team on the Sunshine Coast to come to the front. Melbourne, I want you guys to be, I'm going to hand back to you, Dan Frecker, in a moment. What we're going to do, we're going to lead through a series of prayer. And then also, for anybody who's here today and you're not yet in a relationship with Jesus, don't go. Once we've prayed for these ones who come out the front, we're going to pray with you. We're going to give you an opportunity to invite Christ into your life, to be born again, so that you can receive forgiveness for your sin and be made right with God. Oh, and the joy and the peace that comes from that moment. So back to you, Dan Frecker. Thank you. God bless you, Melbourne.